the scriptures prophesied about Jesus Christ, but the Jews still rejected him. Let's dig into the Word of God once again, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this verse-by-verse study in the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 25 through 47, which will close out the chapter. Love the Word of God. Love this Gospel of John. Speaks with clarity. So let's dig in. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So if you remember in the first part of chapter 5 here, we closed it out with verse 24. It talks about the believers, had they hear the word, they receive the word, and they pass from death unto life. So there's power in the word of God. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ to save a soul. When you're truly saved, when you're truly regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, you pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. So here the Lord says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, and a person is open, they're receptive to the truth, and they believe it, they believe the message, they will pass from death to life. This is salvation. It's a beautiful thing. To believe in the word of God, to believe in the words which speak of Christ, who he is, what he's done, why he came here, and so on and so forth. So you have salvation. And that's what happened to me, ladies and gentlemen. You know, after years upon years of being religious but lost in the Roman Catholic Church, that system, I wasn't hearing the word of God like this. It was just this liturgy, the same stuff by rote, week after week after week, saying the Apostles' Creed and so on and so forth. It meant nothing. It wasn't hitting home. I wasn't being warned about the things of God, the warnings about heaven and hell and so on and so forth. It was just a routine. So that's why I love to speak the word of God. So don't miss the fact that it says the Father has given to Jesus Christ the authority to execute judgment. So this is also talking about the day of judgment, ladies and gentlemen. So there's power that goes forth when you preach the word of God, and there's coming a day when the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and that's going to be judgment day. This is what's going to happen on judgment day, ladies and gentlemen. The voice of the Son of God is going to speak, and that's going to be it. Let's go to verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Heavy duty stuff here. What's this talking about? Talking about Judgment Day. It's talking about the last day, ladies and gentlemen. And trust me, there's one central day of judgment. All humanity, every man and woman who has ever been born and walked in this world, walked on planet Earth, they will be there on that day. I will be there. You will be there. Adolf Hitler will be there. Every movie star that ever starred in a movie will be there. Every athlete, no matter what sport, they will be there. The rich, the poor, the small, the great, they will be there on the day that I'm talking to you about. It will be those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Wow. You know, in the book of Daniel, you'll see the same thing being spoken of there also. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says the following, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So Daniel was speaking about the exact same thing that Jesus Christ just spoke to his followers about. I want to make it clear, there's only one day, John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Look at that. So that's the last day, folks, ladies and gentlemen. If you know the Lord, you'll be raised up on the last day. Glory to God. Acts chapter 24, another course reference, 14 and 15 verses. It says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. So look at that. All the same thing. There's going to be a resurrection, and it's going to be of the just and the unjust. It's flowing right right along. You see how the scriptures dovetail one into the other, speaking of one central judgment. So it's a day of judgment. Another cross reference, Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day, not days, a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So who's that speaking about? Christ. He's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the one who is raised from the dead, folks. You know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul speaking along the same lines. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So there it is, judgment seat of Christ. This, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you know, people try to separate different judgments that say this is the great white throne judgment. Paul here, this judgment here is equal to the great white throne judgment. Oh, yes, it is. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to be judged. We're going to be judged on the same day. That's what the scriptures are speaking about, ladies and gentlemen. So don't be deceived. The judgment seat of Christ, he's the one who's going to judge. Remember John 5:22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There it is, the Son, Christ. So it's the judgment seat of Christ, okay? He's the one who's on the throne, going to judge everyone at the same time. The beautiful thing for the believer, obviously, is that your name is written in the book of life. Glory to God. So these are things you need to know. Let's go now to John, back to John here, chapter 5, verses 30 to 32. Christ speaking, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Hallelujah. So, here's the Lord saying, look, I got a witness. I got somebody who is a witness. You know, basically, at certain points, that the unbelieving Jews would say, you know, who are you? You know, you're talking about yourself, this and that. Basically, you're tooting your own horn. So here the Lord is saying, you know, I'm not doing of my own self. As I hear, I judge, my judgment is just, okay? He's not bearing witness of himself. He's bringing glory now to the Father. He says, there's another that bears witness of me, and his witness is true. Of course it's true, because it's the witness of Almighty God. There's no lie in Almighty God. He is truth, ladies and gentlemen, no error. So that's something you need to know. Verse 33, ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Good stuff. He said, I don't receive testimony of man. He says, I'm preaching to you. I'm teaching you these things that you might be saved. This is the point of the gospel, folks. You know, when we share the gospel with people, whether it be a word of mouth on a one-on-one or perhaps just handing a tract to somebody, you're giving witness. You're preaching the gospel. And the reason you're doing that is that a person might be saved. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing today, you're hearing the sound of my voice, is that people who are listening might be saved. You might understand things perhaps a little clearer. You need to be saved if you're not saved, because there's coming a day when God will judge the world in righteousness. You are going to be there. Absolutely. Whether you believe it or not, you're still going to be there. Don't ever forget that. You will be there. So here the Lord is talking about John the Baptist. As John was a burning, he was a shining light. He was a man that was definitely sent by God. But the Lord is saying, I have a greater witness. His works, the works that Jesus Christ was doing, the miracles. Think of all the miracles that he did, the healings, the multiple healings, the multiple times that he cast demons out of people, the times he rose people from the dead. Think of Lazarus, the man who was dead for 4 days. The sister said, Lord, his body stinks by now. But the Lord raised that man from the dead, okay? Think of all these works. The Lord walked on water. The Lord calmed a raging sea to the point his own disciples who were on the boat with him, they could not believe what was taking place. They said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can you imagine telling a storm in the middle of a storm at sea, the boat is ready to sink, and somebody stands up by the name of Jesus Christ and he says, peace, be still, and the storm stops? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? These are the works, ladies and gentlemen, that this man did when he walked the earth. This is the witness he's talking about. The works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Keep in mind that the Jewish people were rejecting him. They disdained him. Oh, yes, they did. So let's go now. Verse 37, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So this is heavy duty stuff here. This is why I love the Gospel of John. It is so clear. You know, when you're dealing with the topic of the Jewish people or Israel or Zionism, folks, go to the Word of God for yourself. Ask the Lord to show you the truth. Of course he's going to show you the truth. If you're a Christian, you've been born again of the Spirit, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. That's John 16, verse 13. So here, the Lord is telling the Jewish people, he says, look, search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life. Think about this. They thought they had eternal life. And here's the Son of God preaching to them, and they buck him. They don't want to hear what he's saying. So, and he's trying to tell them, look, the Word of God, that you open your scrolls daily, and they testify of me. They speak of me, and yet you won't come to me that you might have life. He's talking about everlasting life. You reject me. This is heavy-duty stuff, folks. Don't miss this. So, and he tells them, you don't have his word, the word of God, abiding in you. When you study and meditate upon the word of God, this is what he's talking about. The truth is going inside your heart. You meditate upon the scriptures day and night. And basically saying, look, if you would have believed that word, you would have believed me. It's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. And he says, this word is not living in you. Because if it was, they would have received him. If they were truly following God Almighty, if they were truly following him, that's what that's talking about. Let's look at verse 41. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So here's the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming. He was sent down from above. This is the eternal Son of God preaching the word, preaching the gospel to his own people. He says, I'm coming in my Father's name, and you don't receive me. You will not receive me. Remember chapter 1, where it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God. So this is what this is talking about. But listen to what he says. I'm come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. My, oh my. Ultimately talking about the end times, ladies and gentlemen, receiving somebody who's not the true Messiah. Let me give you a taste from an article from the Jerusalem Post. I quoted from this article in a post that I did. I'm just going to give you little bits and pieces from this article. It's called Perez, the Pope, and a Plan for World Peace. I'm talking about Shimon Peres. This was from September 9, 2014. Now, talking about a meeting that Shimon Peres had with Pope Francis. Let me give you bits and pieces. Shimon Peres, a patriarch of today's Israel, wants to leave a legacy. Most in this mode aim for things like monuments, memoirs, and money. Peres's aim is world peace. And in his opinion, Pope Francis, a man he calls Holy Father, is the one to make it happen. Vatican spokesmen concur, as does Italy's representative for Islam, who fully agrees. Let me just stop here. So here we have Shimon Peres, the late Shimon Peres, who he calls the Pope the Holy Father. It's an abomination right there. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father, for one is your Father in heaven. So here, Shimon Peres, by the way, an unbeliever, did not believe in Jesus Christ. Yet, in his opinion, he calls this Pope the Holy Father, and he believes that the Holy Father can make world peace happen. Watch out with this stuff, folks. And the Vatican spokesman concur, as does Italy's representative for Islam. That's the Muslims. That wasn't his heavy-duty stuff. Let's get back to that article. On September 4, 2014, he, meaning Shimon Peres, was granted an impressive 45-minute meeting with Catholicism's popular pontiff. A man, Peres asserts, is more powerful than the United Nations for advocating peace. In an exclusive interview with the Catholic periodical Familia Cristiana, the Christian family, Peres divulged his plans. Perhaps for the first time in history, the Holy Father, meaning the Pope, is a leader not only respected by many people, but also by different religions and their leaders. In fact, Peres clarified, he, meaning the Pope, is perhaps the only truly respected leader in the world today. While Francis has refrained from commenting on Peres's assessment, that same silence permits it. It also permits the framework of Peres's idea to be tested in the crucible of world opinion. The United Nations has had its day, Peres opined. What we need is an organization of united religions, a United Nations of Religion. So that was from the Jerusalem Post, September 9, 2014. Heavy duty stuff here. So here you have a man, Shimon Peres, a Jewish man, unbeliever in Jesus Christ, calling a man who is the leader of the most idolatrous system probably in the world, filled with idols, a system, Roman Catholicism, that changed the Second Commandment, pulled it out from the catechisms, and that all has to do with graven images and statues. It's a system of idolatry. It's a system that preaches a false and counterfeit gospel. And here you have this Jewish man who does not believe in Jesus Christ singing the praises of this man whom he calls the Holy Father. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Jewish people don't believe that. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They do not believe that he's the Lord. Think about this now. So here's this Jewish man singing the praises of an unsaved man. I'm speaking to you as a former Roman Catholic, and elevating this man that he can bring about world peace. He should be the leader. Think about this now. And here's this Muslim man saying, yep, I agree with that. So this is what you need to know, folks. So don't forget, the Lord said, you won't receive me, but this coming one whom you're going to receive. Oh my. Don't be fooled by the modern day preachers, ladies and gentlemen. It's either Christ or it's nothing. You are either saved or you are lost. You're going to spend eternity in heaven or you're going to spend eternity in hell. And Jesus Christ is the deciding factor. It's what you do with him. You either receive Jesus Christ or you reject him. You receive him, you'll have everlasting life. You reject him, you'll spend eternity in everlasting torment, everlasting punishment in a very real place called hell. So that's plain and simple. And this is the beauty in the Gospel of John. This is why I'm doing this study the way I am, ladies and gentlemen. So let's close it out here. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Wow. Once again, the Lord nails it. He says, look, it won't be me. Your own word is going to judge you on that day. The words that you say you believe will judge you. What is he saying here? He says, Moses testified of me. Moses wrote of me. Oh, yes, he did. And you search the scriptures, you'll see that. Moses spoke of a prophet that was coming. Speaking of Christ. Now, we know Christ is more than a prophet. So here he's saying, Moses wrote of me. Very often you'll see the Lord say, Moses and the prophets, Psalms wrote of me. They spoke of me. The scriptures testify concerning Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, they do. Search the scriptures for yourself. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. What an awesome prophecy written 700 years before the death of Christ. It was a prophecy about his death. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, a prophecy concerning where Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And many other prophecies. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 concerning the virgin birth. My, oh my, the virgin birth of Christ. So when the Lord spoke this way, he said, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You say you believe Moses. If you really believe Moses, then you would have believed me. So he says, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? That's what he's saying. You're not going to believe me if you don't believe him, because if you believe Moses, you would have received me gladly. That's it. So that's some powerful stuff we learned today in John chapter 5. I'm going to leave it right there. You be blessed and have a great day.